This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you a beautiful song today by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians and wind down this week's installments in our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Of course, the series will continue next week, Monday through Friday, for many weeks to come. But right now, let's hear Jesus is calling. If you're not saved, He is calling you today. I hope you will answer His call. Enjoy the music and then the message.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Father, by the Holy Spirit as we study today. Save souls, bless hearts, strengthen believers in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin reading today in John 5:33. Verses 33 and following give us the fourfold witness to Jesus by John the Baptist, the works of Jesus, God the Father, and the Word. We have a fourfold witness. You see it clearly outlined in your Scofield Bible. If you have one, you'll follow us today in verse 33 and following. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. John the Baptist was a man most unusual. There was nothing ordinary about John the Baptist. He was extraordinary in everything. Well, you say, Brother Green, what about the time when he sent his disciples, and Matthew records that he sent disciples, and they asked Jesus if he was Messiah, or should they look for another? What about that? John did not send those men for himself. He sent them that they might see and hear for themselves. Not John, but for his disciples. He wanted them to see and know. There is no doubt in my mind, I believe with all of my heart, that John knew from the very beginning, and he never one time doubted, that Jesus was Messiah, very God in flesh. He never doubted it. All right, so John bare witness unto the truth. Now, if they had listened to John, they would have been set free, because John 8:32 tells us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And John told the truth. He had the opportunity to boast and brag and to become a great hero and a great religious idol. But no, he pointed men to Jesus from the very outset of his ministry until his head was chopped off for preaching a sermon on adultery. He pointed men to Jesus and never to himself. Now in verse 34, but I received not testimony from man. Now the testimony that John gave was the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So Jesus said, I am truth. John 14 and verse 6. So the testimony that John gave forth was spoken by a man, but it was not the testimony of man. He spoke as God Almighty dictated to him the words to speak. You say, Brother Green, do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. Now, beginning again, verse 34, but these things I say that you might be saved. Now, listen, dearly beloved. Jesus was even more extraordinary than John the Baptist. Now, for instance, Jesus speaking to his enemies, and he was omniscient. He knew that they would finally demand his death, and he knew that they would say, give us Barabbas and kill Jesus. He knew that. And yet, beloved, now listen to me carefully. Yet, knowing that, Jesus said everything and he did everything that he could to get these men to be saved. You know why? It's not God's will that one perish, but that all come to repentance. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Therefore, even though Jesus knew that these men would deny him and crucify him, he said this. He spoke these words that they might be saved. He wanted them to be saved. Now, verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. Now, notice that. John was a burning and a shining light. Let me pause here to say that we have a lot of men today that like to shine, but they don't like to burn. Now, what do I mean? I'm not talking about burning literally. Listen, John was a burning and a shining light. The more a light burns, for instance, let me put it this way. I was reared in the days of the kerosene lamp. I mean the old-fashioned lamp with a wick and a chimney. I studied by the old-fashioned lamp. I'm 51 years old, and I studied by the old-fashioned kerosene lamp. Now, the larger the wick, and that, of course, if you don't know what it is, I couldn't explain. Don't have time on the radio, but most of you know what a lamp wick is. It goes down in the oil. And it soaks up the oil, and the oil feeds through the wick and to the flame, and the flame actually feeds on the oil fed to the flame by the wick. Now, the greater the wick, the brighter the light burns. Now listen, John was not the light. He told them in the very outset, he said, I'm not that light. I'm not that light. Now, we might say he was a voice. He was the one through which the Holy Spirit, and of course oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And John spoke, he was the wick, we might say. He was the one that conveyed the message. He was the one that the oil fed through to, and the words were spoken in spite of God Almighty when he said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he pointed his disciples to the Lamb. Now John was a bright and a shining light. He burned. He was a burning and a shining light. The more the wick burns, the brighter the light. Now, I'm not talking about literally burning. I'm talking about allowing God to flow through us and speak through us and live through us. And we need to get our lamps from beneath a bushel and put them on a candlestick that we might shine for Jesus, not for ourselves. We have a lot of folks today that like to shine. Oh, they want to be shining lamps in the church. They want to be chairman of the board, and they want to be the leaders. We have let me change that. The visible church is blessed with leaders. Oh, yes. The thing we need is some servants. We need servants. God is looking for ditch diggers. Oh, yeah. May I use an old farm expression, and I thank God that I was reared on the farm in the kerosene lamp age, and I'm glad that I learned these things, and they have meant much to me, and I wouldn't take anything for what I learned on the farm. But I want to say we need some new ground workers. You farmers know what I'm talking about. We need some new ground workers, some fellows to grub in the new ground and dig up roots and dig up stumps. We need some stump movers. We need some laborers. God has an abundance of superintendents and bosses. We need some ditch diggers and some folks who are willing to do a little labor. Now, John was a burning. He burned and he shined. Anyone that's willing to burn for Jesus, let self be burned out. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit fill your vessel and burn for Jesus. You'll shine for him. But the trouble today, people want to shine without burning. All right, read on. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season. For a season. Now, just a minute. Just a minute. And I've been an evangelist 31 years. And if there's anybody on earth that has a warm spot in his heart for evangelist, I have a warm spot in my heart for evangelist. I've been conducting revival meetings 31 years. And I've seen a little, I've learned a little. I've seen some things I wish I had not seen. I've learned some things I wish I didn't know. But I've been on the road, I've been on the field, I've been out there. And I have a warm spot in my heart for evangelist. But I'm saying all that to say this. When the evangelist comes to the church, the people flock in. Now, I appreciate that. Heaven knows I appreciate crowds. I wouldn't be normal. I would be abnormal if I didn't appreciate crowds. But the people flock in. And I'm talking about just ordinary. I don't mean an outstanding world-renowned evangelist. I mean just an ordinary visiting preacher come in, a visiting pastor, and another pastor from another church, and they have an evangelistic campaign or an evangelist, and the people flock in. And then many times, many come forward, and they give the preacher their hand, and they weep a little, and they many of them are baptized. And then when the evangelist is gone, they're gone. You know, John the Baptist had quite a following at the beginning. They rejoiced for a season, just a season, and then they turned away. Listen, beloved, let me show you something. Let me show you something. John the Baptist had a great multitude to come to him to be baptized. Of course, some came that he wouldn't baptize. He said, you look more like snakes than you do lambs. What did he say? Preacher, where'd you read that? I read that he said, oh, you generation of vipers. And then he said, you go home and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. You go home and live right and prove to me by the way you live that you're born again and I'll baptize you. So there are some folks today that John would not baptize. There's some folks today who come forward that John would not receive. Now, he had a great mass, and Jesus had a great mass, even more than John. And then when they led Jesus away to be crucified, and he carried his cross just as long as he could carry it, and he fell beneath it, the soldiers had to force Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross, had to force him. Where were the 5,000? Where were the 10 lepers? Where were all of the multitudes that flocked to John the Baptist and flocked to Jesus? And they professed, but they didn't possess. Now, Jesus knew what he was talking about when the disciples said, will there be many saved? And Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. John called all who heard him. Jesus called all who heard him. And the word of God is calling all who listen to the gospel hour today. They're called, but many will not come. So they rejoiced in John as long as the glamour was there in the masses. But then when things began to get rough, they were not willing to burn. They wanted to shine, but they didn't want to burn. They wanted to shine, but not burn. We still have them. These are dead, but their relatives are with us. Verse 36, I have greater witness than that of John. The works which the Father hath given me to do, to finish rather, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The works that I do. Who on this earth ever asks servants to fill 6 water pots of stone with water, then simply said, draw out. And they obeyed and presented to the governor of the feast the best wine he had ever put to his lips. Whoever said to a blind man, your eyes are open, and they open. Whoever said to a leper, be thou clean, and he was clean. Stretch out your arm. Take up thy bed and walk. A man that's been dead 4 days And his sisters beg, do not open the tomb. Do not roll the stone away. He's been dead 4 days. He is decaying. He's deteriorating. He stinketh. Do not roll the stone away. Jesus said, roll the stone away. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. The works, the works, the works. Listen, beloved, the works. Anyone that will read the New Testament with an open mind and an open heart, with no preconceived ideas, if you'll read this book with an open mind, you'll be convinced reading it that Jesus was more than a man. But these men saw him in action. They heard him. They saw him. They witnessed his works. And yet they demanded, kill him. We will not have him. We want Barabbas. Now watch this. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You haven't seen his shape, you haven't heard his voice, but he bore witness. He testified. Now, of course, when Jesus was born, the angels sang. The heavenly host sang. And it was announced from heaven unto you this day, in the city of David, a Savior is born. When Jesus was baptized, God said, this is my beloved Son. And the Holy Ghost came down bodily and remained upon him. The Mount of Transfiguration, God said, this is my Son, and on other occasions. But in spite of all that God did and said, they stopped their ears, they closed their eyes, and they would not believe. Now watch it. And ye have not his word abiding in you. You do not have God's word abiding in you. You claim to be the religious leaders of the day. You claim to be the spiritual giants of the day. You claim to be men who know the scriptures. You search the scriptures. You search, you read and reread, and you search. But you do not have the word of God in your heart. Now read it. And ye have not the word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Now, if you want to know whether you're born again or not, if you're born again, the word of God abides in you. And if the word of God abides in you, you have life, and if you have life, you'll produce. You may not produce 100-fold, but you'll produce 60. You'll produce 30, 60, or 100. You may not be a 100% fruit-bearing Christian, but if you are alive, if the Word of God abides in you, if you have received the engrafted Word, if you have received the incorruptible seed, if you're born again, you'll bear fruit. You'll bear some fruit. Where there is life, there is fruit. Where there is life, there is movement and activity. You can't miss it. All right. So he said, you do not have the word of God abiding in you, for whom he, that is God, hath sent. Him ye believe not. If you had the word of God in you, as you say we are Abraham's seed, we are Abraham's children, and you can't set us free. We've never been in bondage to any man. But you don't have the word of God. If you believed as your father Abraham, you would receive me. But now you want to kill me. You want to do away with me. You do not have the word of God abiding in you. Search the scriptures. And they did. They did. These teachers, you know, Nicodemus was the teacher in Israel. The Greek there means not a teacher, but the. He was the master of Israel. He was the most outstanding scholar in the religion of his fathers. And yet, he, even he, could not understand. Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Search the scriptures, for in them, that is the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now they had read from Genesis to Malachi. They had studied the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah. They had studied the Psalms, and the Psalms testify again and again and again that the Son of God would come. He would suffer. He would be crucified and buried, and he would rise again. They read it. They reread it. They searched it, but they could not see Jesus. You know why? They were looking for a glamorous, outstanding, mighty military leader that would deliver them from Rome. They had more faith in leaders among their nation than they did in the God who sent the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, their King. Now, We have, as I said in the outset, we have a fourfold witness. Number one, John the Baptist told the truth about Jesus. Number two, the works that Jesus did, they witnessed the miracles that he performed. Number three, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." In many other ways, God testified. Then the scriptures, search the scriptures. Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report?" And so on. "He was wounded for our transgressions." They didn't believe it. They searched the scriptures. They couldn't see it. "All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord Jehovah God hath laid on Jesus the Lamb the iniquity of us all." They couldn't see it. They read it, they studied it, they reread it, and they couldn't see it. And let me tell you, I have news for you. There are people listening to me today, even as a little child in Sunday school, you began to read and hear the words read, "Except a man be born again, except ye repent," and you've never, never been born again. You've been going to Sunday school all your life. You've read your Bible. You have professed to be a student of the Word. That is, you've studied your Sunday school quarterlies, your Bible. You've gone to Sunday school. You've gone to study courses, and you followed the program of the denomination, and you are a good Baptist, a good Methodist, a good Presbyterian. You're a good Lutheran, a good Episcopalian, a good Holiness. But you've followed the teaching of the denomination. You've never received the Word of God. The Word of God does not abide in you, because if the Word of God did abide in you, you'd have assurance. You wouldn't be afraid. You'd say with Paul, "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You've read the scriptures, you've searched the scriptures, but you've never stopped and received the engrafted word, the incorruptible seed. You've never received the word of God. You've never received Jesus. Do it now. Do it now, and let him save you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that precious church member that is afraid to die. I pray for that professing church member, that professing Christian that is afraid to die. I pray that you'll trouble them, convict them, and draw them, and may they be born again today. Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, and feed the Christians and strengthen believers in the inner man. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake and for his glory. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green speaking to you again. I hope you were blessed as you listened to the program today. I listen every day, usually in my car, and although I've heard my dad for over 70 years growing up, I still find something new or something that I have forgotten about when I listen to him almost every single day. I'm sure you're the same way. So thank you for tuning in. And I do have a few minutes left that I want to share with you about our gift offer M, our new offer for this week, containing three great items. One, a set of sermons on CDs by Dr. Green. Two, a book on prophecy by Dr. Green, and really a sermon on prophecy. And finally, five copies of a very worthwhile, important, soul-winning booklet. And all of this is available to you if you can simply send a donation of at least $25 and ask for Offer M. You must ask for the offer to receive it, because so many people send in donations each and every week or month and do not ask for any literature or CD. So please ask for the offer if you want to receive it. And if you ask for Offer M and enclose a donation of at least $25, please send more if you can. $30 or $35 would be very wonderful and help us get the gospel out. But if you can send a donation of at least $25 and ask for Offer M, I'm going to send you first five copies of our soul-winning booklet, Flag. Now, front cover is an American flag, very bright, catching-the-eye cover for this booklet. The subtitle Will Russia or Red China invade the USA? And it starts out with scripture from Revelation, a wonderful soul-winning book. And I hope when you get these, read it, and then order more to share with others. Then we have Russia, Israel, and the End, a book by Dr. Green, 60 pages long, all about prophecy. And again, I'm sure you will have a new outlook on prophecy after reading this book. Finally, four CDs containing 12 messages. The subject is Perilous Times, a series of messages that Dr. Green preached on the radio many, many years today, but you would think it was happening yesterday. We are in perilous times. So to get all three of these items, just ask for gift offer M and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.